Welcome to G Talk. G Talk is a podcast dedicated to helping you discover your purpose by helping you build intimate relationships and a lifestyle of thankfulness. Listen to us today as we discuss a new challenging topic aimed to encourage you and to challenge you, but most importantly, to build you up in your relationships with each other and with God. Stay tuned. Welcome to G Talk, and we are your hosts, Terrence and Adara. And honey, here we are once again, another week. It's good to have you back. I know we've had a couple of weeks where we've been going and talking with FX Missions and Scott, and it's great to get you back in and be able to be back together again here.
Well, I'm excited. I enjoyed having that little time off and being on the other side of listening
yeah.
and hearing how God is doing great things through Scott.
Yeah.
He's always been a blessing, and he's one person that always has a smile on his face. It's so welcoming. So I enjoyed that, and I'm looking forward to the season that we're in to really ignite ourselves and ignite others to begin to see themselves as we are church.
Yes, and we're going to continue. I know we're going to have others on over the next few weeks, and we're trying to just put together those time slots to do that. But right now, we want to really get to the place that we're encouraging people to recognize how huge this really is for people to see themselves as being the church, not going, but to really live out the calling that God has on our life. And so we are, I don't even know how to express the importance of it.
This is our hour.
Yeah, it is.
There is no other way to put it. This is our hour to be church.
Yeah.
It's not for us to say it's the pastor's job.
Mm-hmm.
The people, the missionaries, the I'm not ready, I'm waiting. This is your hour.
Mm.
And it's kind of like the spotlight is now on each and every one of us.
Mm.
And what we choose to, who we choose to be, and who we choose to, for people to see in this hour is critical.
Yeah.
Are they seeing Jesus or are they seeing me?
Yeah. Yeah. We want to encourage you today as we get into this topic, as we really start digging into, and we're going to just provide some little examples today in our own personal life with things we've done, things we're continuing to do. I mean, we've given our lives really for this right now. I mean, we've transitioned to just living this model out. And I know people might think, oh, they're out there not doing anything. Oh, no, we're doing stuff. It's just God has us really, it's like foundational. We're laying a foundation here that's going to take time. And we're not in a rush. We're not needing titles and positions. We're just going about what we feel like God wants us to do. And we're just plugging along. And it may not have fruit for some time, at least the kind of fruit that anybody notices. But we know God notices what we're doing.
Well, I think one of the key words you said is that, well, we don't, what are you doing? What's God doing through you? It's pretty much, I think you'll have people will ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
They ask that question for some reason.
Yeah.
What are you doing? And I really am, the Lord is really helping me understand who I am. And that there's, a lot of times people will look at the number of fruit to really determine if you are converting, and which we'll do that next week.
Mm.
But we have people do not have a clue that through mentoring, through discipling, I'm going to pretty much interchange those words at times, that God looks at the heart and he's looking at my heart. And if he says, Dara, you're going to spend this season with this person, right? I want you to disciple this person.
Mm-hmm.
I may run across people who know me or who have known me, And I can share, wow, you know, Lord's really had me mentoring this person. And that's it. Girl, you're not using your gifts. All those different things God has done through you. And just this person, you hear that, just this.
Yeah.
We get really caught up on conversions, numbers, to really determine if that person is really being used by God. We look and say, wow, they're leading all these people to the Lord. Because I know I've done it. You know, yeah. I'll look and say, man, if I could have been Billy Graham, you know,
right,
lead all those people. And the Lord has really been convicting my heart with that, of just, we can get stuck on numbers, conversion. So my conversations shift from, this is who God's called me, what an honor. And he's shifting that versus me looking at the other person and what God's doing through them.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I think as we talk today about, you know, individually, how is God working through you?
Yeah.
For his kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned him too. You know, you were asking me about that. And, you know, I spent a couple of, you know, this is when I was pastoring. So a lot of people didn't know I was doing this at the same time, but going into prison and just mentoring, you know, one prisoner at a time. So mm-hmm. I had, I think over a couple of years, I think I just had two prisoners that I spent time with. They were both, you know, gang members. They were, you know, Bloods Crips at mm-hmm. the time, and were, you know, in prison for, you know, obviously doing, it was hardcore stuff they had done. And the idea was to help break them out of, you know, the things that they normally do. You know, generally they find that when guys like that get out of prison, they go right back to their friends. And so the idea was, they discovered if you can help break them free of their traditional friendships, the things that they've built and built, help them build new ones, then they can maybe break the cycle. And they've just found that that was a great way. And so I would go in and just befriend them. And it took, you know, that's a long process. That's not like a, you know, let's just show up, because they don't trust you forever. You know, it was me going and meeting with them and sitting with them and talking. And, you know, how do you break them out on their birthdays? I'd bring birthday cake, you know, I'd bring them lunch, and they're like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you doing this? And those were the things that really got them to start realizing that I was genuine. And especially when I would show up and have a birthday cake in my hand and be like, you know, it's your birthday this week, right? Yeah. You know, wow. You know, and bring them a sandwich or something. So they're getting food from the outside a little bit, and just week by week, just talking. And it's just like getting to know them, their family, their background, their history. And typically when I first come, they just, you know, there's really attitude, and there's this disdain for, you know, me and everybody on the outside. And, hey, I'm cool, I'm good. I don't need nothing from you, until, you know, you're 6 months in and they're finally opening up and saying, maybe I can, do you think I can be something different? I mean, I've had them look at me and say, do you think? Yeah, it's like, of course you can. You know, these are your choices. You know, you can choose, you've chosen that. You can choose to do something totally different. And you know, the one I can, just when I, you know, I can definitely recall just talking about, you know, where he really opened up and started sharing dreams. Like, you know, this is what I really always wanted to be. And it's like, you know, to transition from, you know, I'm good, nothing's ever going to change, I am what I am, there are no opportunities, to, you know, hey, you know, I've always wanted to live this or do that, is that possible? And to have them open up that kind of way, those are some things that people may not realize, that anyone can do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyone can take some time to go and visit people in prison. And I've tried to kind of, you know, we think even with prison, oh, it's got to be an organized, where I go in and preach to 50 people that show up. And it's mm-hmm. like, no, you don't have to do that. You can just go find one person. You know, even since we've been in Arkansas, I think I've already visited a couple of people here
mm-hmm.
in prison that I just heard. I don't even know them. Just heard. I met a family member. They said, oh, yeah, such and such. My son's in prison. My, you know, my nephew's in prison. It's like, okay, give me their name. And then I go research them, find them, go and visit them and be like, hey, I met your aunt, I met your mom, can I, you know, just want to encourage you. And I'm like, wow, you would come all the way out here and encourage me. And these are things that anyone can do.
Right.
And it doesn't require, you know, all the stuff that we think we need to have. But these are practical ways that everybody could be the church. Mm-hmm. Just go out and live what Jesus said. He asked us, did we go into the prisons? You know, did we, you know, we see people every day with a need. There's just a ton of different things that are, you know, that are available. One of the people that I really want to have on and I'm working on is a good friend of ours who she went around from in the whole city and just gave food. She would just stop at locations and they always knew that she was going to be on a certain day in a certain part of the city in Charlotte. And she gave food away in those days. And then she shared the gospel and she loved people. And she did that. She's done that for years and years and years. She's now moved to California doing the same thing. But she has traveled all over the world and she's a grandma, you know, probably a great grandma, mm-hmm. you know. I mean, she is an amazing woman that has simply just said, this is all I have and I'm going to give what I have. It doesn't require degrees and it doesn't require the church to fund me because God always funds our mission, our ministry, when we just go and just try to serve him the best way we can. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, these are things that all of us can do. And so, I mean, you spent some time, you know, when we were growing up, it was, and again, I know this is a church thing, but our church would take us to prisons and stuff. And mm-hmm. so I know, again, it's kind of, that's an organized thing. And sometimes that one of the things we're trying to break the mindset of is break the thinking that you have to be organized. It has to be part of, you know, but those are great ways to start. Mm-hmm. And you can always find ministries or people that are doing something and then find a way to get in there with them and say, hey, you know, you sometimes don't even know that it's you until you get in there and do it. And then you go, oh, I really like this. You
right.
know,
right. I think mm-hmm. what happens a lot of times is that in the midst of where we were placed, and it was a way that growing up that we were being taught how to be the church, even though it was, like you said, it was organized at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But what it did for me, I mean, I started going into the prisons at 14, 15.
Mm-hmm.
And for several years to the YTS and then to the men prison.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed me, again, how to minister.
Yeah.
That they're people. You know, his word tells us that we are to visit them.
Right.
What I found was that it was no longer, because I wasn't made to do it. I was probably the youngest one actually that went, and we had to get even clearance, you know, had to get clearance, but they didn't make me go. It was totally my choice.
Okay.
I did it for, I would say, up until I finished high school, and I enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed being able to sing. They even allowed me to share, even though I was young. I even seen some people at in YTS that I was going to high school with that landed there. But what I found was really going back to Matthew.
Mm.
And when it says in, what is, I'm sorry,
28, tomorrow?
Matthew 22, when it talks, when Jesus is telling the disciples to the greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah.
Everything starts from there.
Yeah.
There are multitudes of people that are doing organized things mm-hmm. in the prison, you know, and it's great that they're doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, you have lots of organizations that are wanting to help, so I'm not knocking that at all.
Right.
What I found is he's changed me to not look at them as converts or how many people I can get, or I did this so that I can put it on my resume, or I can tell people this is what I'm doing. What it really started with me was that I really had a love for God.
Right.
It birthed from that. And it's a difference when you're doing it out of the love of God versus doing it because it's something that you're required to do.
Well, let's stop there for a second because mm-hmm. you're making a really good point. And let me just, because it's a good point, I want to make sure that we're clear on this, because sometimes the motive of our heart, one of the things I have found in my own heart is that sometimes I don't even recognize my motives.
Mm.
And so when you're saying that, I think one of the questions we need to ask people is, as you're listening to us, one of the ways is, you know, why do we do what we do? And when you think about, when we talk about doing things organized, I think a lot of the reasons why we're doing it for organization, in the organization, is because we are acknowledged when we do it in the organization, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like, you know, the church knows that I'm going with them, so they'll get up on a Sunday and share that I'm doing this, or we'll, so there's some return mm-hmm. for why we're doing things. Right. But you're saying that you're wanting or expecting that people, our motivation is cannot be so that others are knowing that what we're doing, because it's kind of like working. You know, when you go to work every day, the goal is what? Promotion. The goal is to get more pay. The goal is to get more responsibility. So I have to make sure that everybody knows what I'm doing.
Right.
And there's nothing more frustrating than that in my mind, because our motive's right. So you're talking about, I mean, the word is very clear that God is the one that promotes.
Right.
He's the one that sees our hearts and the things that we're supposed to be doing and things that we are doing. If we're not doing it for him, then we're doing it for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that part is what you're saying is really important. So go right. back. I just wanted to clarify that as you right. were saying that, for us to really ask ourselves the question. Because for a lot of us, the reason why we're not doing it is because no one is seeing us.
Right.
So,
and we're not being acknowledged. And that's a lot of times that's what ends up happening, where that's probably the number one factor for us to know why we're doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not being acknowledged.
Right.
You know, if I'm looking saying, well, gosh, they, you know, they got acknowledged, and, you know, I go to the prison too.
Mm-hmm.
I just go alone.
Mm-hmm.
And they go
mm-hmm.
with a group, and they get called on stage, and I'm not. And, you know, I'm looking at this from a totally wrong perspective,
mm-hmm.
because my whole motive with that is not centered around love.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. not. If I'm looking at being offended, if I'm looking at why didn't I, then my purpose for going is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting, and you know this with going into the prisons, they are so sharp.
Mm,
they know if you're genuine.
Right.
They know that.
They
know that there's people that come all the time because they're supposed to.
Right.
Or that they're there because they got an opportunity.
Right.
And I got a following.
Mm-hmm.
They are so sharp. And even when I was 15, they knew, they would say, hey, church is coming here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They come in here preaching to us all the time. And we know they're just doing it. It's kind of like, okay,
right.
second Sunday, go to the prison.
Right.
And they know when you're coming because your heart isn't there.
Right.
And it's really interesting because you're thinking you're doing it saying, look what I did.
Right.
And they're looking at saying, you're a fake.
Right.
You're well, just.
Yeah, we got that all the time from people
mm-hmm.
as well that came to our church who were from the streets. They're just like, you know, and that's what their turnoff was to our church
mm-hmm.
was that they just thought we were like everyone else. And then they would come and they'd go, you guys are different.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be like, Terrence, you're different, you know. And I would meet them on the streets and say, hey, let's go get a bite to eat, or, you know, what's going on? And they would just, it got to the place where they would just see me and they would just come over and talk and we would just hang out for a little bit or whatever, just
mm-hmm.
crossing paths. But they knew, they got to know that I wasn't really about trying to win them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that my goal wasn't get you in a pew on Sunday morning, which is a lot of the thinking, I think, for the church. It's kind of like you were saying, and we're going to talk a little bit more next week and about the convert side.
Mm-hmm.
But there is this mindset that we want to just, we're trying to get converts.
Right.
Jesus was trying to make disciples and trying to connect with people.
Mm-hmm.
And he was trying to get to people's hearts. But a lot of times we just get stuck trying to just, you know, well, I didn't get a number today. I got to get my 10 in or my 20 in or whatever the number might be.
Mm-hmm.
It's not seeing it. And, you know, when we first met and we were dating, and then, you know, even early in our marriage, we would go to convalescent home together. We would go with my grandmother. We would take her with us, or she would take us with her. Well, I don't know how which way, but we would go and do that. We would go to, with your aunt, we would go
to the Boys Republic.
Boys mm-hmm. Republic.
Right.
And these were places. One of the things that I loved about it is that no one knew we were doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't anyone's. This was on our own. I mean, the Boys Republic was with your aunt. So, mm-hmm. I mean, she had that ministry where she was doing it. But we just found a convalescent home and just started going to it.
Right.
And we went and sang, and I shared the word. And it's one of those things where no one knew we were doing it. It wasn't like we were going back and telling everybody we just did this. I remember even, you know, we had Tiana was a baby, because we'd drop her off at my parents' house, and then right. we go. And you know, it took time. It took time out of our week. We were both working, and we would go do it at nighttime. And it was just out of the love of trying to do what we felt like God was calling us right. to do. And it was like sometimes we're waiting for an opportunity. You know, it's like sometimes you go to church and like there's all these people all waiting for a platform.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole places of platform that you can go to, and they're wide open. They won't be, you won't be the star because mm-hmm. there's nobody watching, but you will be the star in God's kingdom because you're doing what He's asking you to do.
Because right. everything that we do, we're doing because our relationship first starts with He first loved me.
Mm-hmm.
And I am to love Him with all my heart, soul, and mind. If my walk on a daily basis isn't centered around that, it will spill over, and what people will receive self.
Mm.
If I'm not constantly in the relationship of loving the Lord,
mm-hmm.
because when I'm loving Him, I'm following His ways, that love will spill over to anyone that I come in contact with. If He's calling me to mentor, that person should walk away thirsting, first really realizing what a deposit.
Mm.
Thirsting, looking forward to their hearts have been tapped into for them to have questions. What is this that this person has? They're different. And I think a lot of times what I find is that we take on so much of what the world says how we are to reach people.
Mm.
And we miss it. Because if I'm in communion with Him, He's going to direct my path. His word right. says that. He's going to direct me. And it may not look like the person up the street
mm-hmm.
when I'm sharing love with this person.
Mm-hmm.
Or if I'm going to the prison to share with this person. Your relationship with one of the ones I remember going visiting him as well with you was several years.
Mm-hmm.
And while you may see other people progressing, that means we've taken our eyes off of what He's called me to do. Every person is valuable.
Yeah.
If He's called Billy Graham because I want you to lead hundreds and thousands of people, that's His DNA for Him.
Right.
If He says, Adara, yours is to mentor this person here, and this is going to be your journey. And I never know what all happened, because right. a lot of times we don't. But He's looking at, I believe the number one thing that He looks at our hearts is our obedience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That, and I tell people that, I explain, because you know, when you've been in ministry for a long time, it's easy for people to, you know, well, hey, can you cover? We want to use your gift over here. We want to use your gift over here. And it's great. But at the same time, what I'm finding in this season, it's so vital, because this is our hour. And I want to be so in tune with what God is having me do
mm-hmm.
and not to take lightly if He's saying, hey, this is what I want you. I want you over here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can fill my plate with many things.
Yeah.
And I can miss what He's saying. And I have to check my heart all the time, because it's easy for us to say, well, why do they get to do? Wrong heart.
Mm.
Okay, so your motive is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's start over again and let's talk about love.
Yeah. 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 Are you done? Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let's talk about, it's kind of like one-on-one again.
Yeah, it is.
Because we can lose sight.
Hmm.
And I don't want to lose that.
Right.
I mean, the biggest thing to me in my life is being able to love the Lord with all my heart, soul, and mind.
Yeah.
What is the point of doing the others if my life isn't centered around love? There's over 50 verses, right?
Mm.
And the New Testament talks about love.
Yeah.
although he talked about that back in Exodus about the first command he gives them.
Right.
You know, so I want to encourage the audience out there that you are church.
Mm-hmm.
He has called you.
Mm-hmm.
You're part of the body of Christ. It first starts with loving the Lord,
mm-hmm.
your God. What does that look like? If I was something, and I know I'm probably getting sidetracked and my minutes are getting really few, but one of the things I found was on your phone, it pops up and it gives you a weekly it gives you a weekly evaluation how long you have used screen time.
Mm.
Do you guys know that? That it monitors you.
Mm.
And it told me, it said, your screen time has gone down. I'm like, wow. But then it said you have used 2 hours of screen time today. Now, I know we're reading the Bible and there's other things that we're using. But one of the things that kind of clicked with me was that how much of that time was with him.
Right, right. Yeah, you're right. And, you know, we want to, I know we got about a minute left here. So let's transition from that to at least as we're going to start moving into what we're going to talk about next week, which is encouraging us to really begin to recognize the difference between, you know, making disciples of people and winning converts, and talking a little bit and understanding what our mindset needs to be, so that we're not just seeing, when we see people, we see convert, we see, you know, making this person. It's like, this is it's hard to explain, but there's a mindset that goes with it. And that's part of what we saw with people when they would talk to us was the fact that we weren't looking to make a convert. We were just looking to love people. And in that process, yes, people got saved. People came to the Lord, but a lot of them didn't. You know, there's a lot of them that just passed through and kept moving. It wasn't, the idea though was that they began to recognize, we want to talk about this next, as we move into next week, is getting beyond the mindset of just seeing people as numbers, mm-hmm. and seeing people as my opportunity to get to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
And just seeing, you know, Jesus took time with people and he really was interested in people.
Right.
And in that process, people's hearts were moved and their hearts were changed,
mm-hmm.
because of the reality of all that went on. And I really believe that's what he wants from us. He wants us to love people. And in that process, there will be a transition that I believe can happen. But let's go ahead and call it. And we want you to come back next week as we jump into that piece. And then hopefully we'll have some other people we can interview and get into some of that the week after, and just continue to share so that you out there can be encouraged to live this out every day of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right.
All righty. Thanks. We love y'all, and we will talk to you next week. G-Talk is a ministry of Hope for You International, a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find us on the web at thankfultoday.com and gtalk.info. You can also find us on Facebook at The Thankful Today.